enjoyed coming down to the Banana Belt. As we still are in the land of ice and snow. Before we begin this morning, I want to just pause for a moment and just remind ourselves that the conditions that prevail in the world today are not going to end next week. We might say this is the beginning of the end. In a broader scope, if we can look at it today, is that climate change, they call it, now it's global warming, save the planet. Folks, yes, I think we should be good stewards, but just remember, this old world is all going to be dissolved with what? Fire. Eventually, this world is going to be totally destroyed, and it's going to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And so as this God's program, as it were, as it plays out, and as we focus on what's happening today in Ukraine, you know, you might say, well, how does this fall into prophecy? Well, I don't see it directly. It's part of God's greater plan. Now, there is going to be a day, and some believe that this is going to be during the tribulation after 3.5 years, that if we go back to Ezekiel 38 and 39, that God says he's going to take a hook and pull from the north peoples to come against the nation of Israel. And really, when it comes to world events, keep your eye on Israel. Okay? Keep your eye on Israel. Why? Because God's going to fulfill his promises to that small nation. And that's when God is going to intervene in a wonderful way on the sides of his people. But God's going to bring judgment on this world. Now, that doesn't seem very good, but that is what's going to happen. Now, the question is, what do I do? I hear people say, and we see here on the news and people interviewed, we feel so helpless. What can we do? Well, if my wife had her wishes, someone would knock off Putin. I know she says that, I don't want to say in jest, but lightheartedly, okay? What can we do? I'm going to ask you today. I've thought of some things that we can actually do. You know, what can the Christian church, what can as believers we do? Have you thought about it? Give me number one. Pray. Now, the question is, what do we pray for? Do we pray that Russia is going to stop? Do we pray that Ukraine is going to succeed? Oh, that is our wishes, isn't it? That Ukraine would succeed. But you know, there's something that's even more important than them succeeding. What do you think that is? Pardon? Yes. And another thing. God's will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Secondly, yes, Jerry. Oh, amen. Yes, this battle, we're going to talk about warfare today. And this battle is really nothing compared, excuse me, to the battle that we're engaged in. And so what we need is to be praying that people in these times of distress will turn to the Lord. Back some time ago, and I think I mentioned this, someone said, you know, when is man going to turn to the Lord? When is man going to turn to the Lord? And I said, things haven't got bad enough yet. It's when we're totally without our own strengths that man seems to cry out to God, and we pray they'll cry out for eternal salvation. Okay, is there something else we can pray for? I think the mothers and children that have had to leave the country, and leave their loved ones behind, and especially Christians, but pray for all of them. Okay, what can we do? What can we do as an individual? Yes, we can pray. Secondly, what can we do? You're nodding your head, Mrs. Robinson. Exactly. We all can help. We all can help. What can I do? We can pray. And number two, we can support organizations. And one is that, and I think I mentioned last week, the Samaritan's Purse are putting up hospitals. What do they call those kind of hospitals? Like they're tented. But anyway, pardon me? Field hospitals, thank you. From a farmer, field. Yes, that's what we can do. And there's other organizations as well, but as the Lord leads, that's how we can help. And if you know somebody in the country, I'm sure a word of encouragement would be most appropriate. Now, our brother prayed for Ukraine. Would I put you on the spot, Wally, to just pray again for the situation and before we move on? Yes, brother. Good man. Very good. Very good. Okay. Do you have something you want to read there, brother? Oh, you'll pray. I thought maybe you had something you want to read there, too.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much, brother. Let's turn in our Bibles today. First of all, I want to go over to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. We've read there before, but I want to refresh your memory. And we're going to look today at the one that is behind all wars and continue to talk about him. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 12. Isaiah 14 and 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star or shining one, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. If we can just break in this morning at verse 7. John is saying in verse 1, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. And he talked about the woman, and I believe the woman here is Israel. But let's just slip down. I'm looking more at characteristics here. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. And then let us just skip down, please, to the end of verse 12. And it says, I should read verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to a male child. And we believe, as I say, the woman is Israel, the child is the Messiah. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from the mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away from the torment. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spread out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. God bless the reading of his word. And folks, there's much more that we could explain here this morning, but I want to go back to our original subject that we started a few weeks ago. We started with saying that no wonder in your life and mine, it's like swimming against the current. I'm sure we've all seen how that the salmon, how that they try to swim upstream and they're on their way to spawn. But the energy and the persistence in all of our lives, we experience like swimming against the current. Why is that? Well, we should not be surprised. I believe sometimes when it comes to people's testimonies, and I'm not criticizing anyone here, but it almost is, you know, you trust Jesus, and, you know, you make him savior of your life, but they forget the lordship. And, you know, it's happy sailing from then on through. Well, might I share with you today, and you probably know, if you come to Christ, your troubles may just begin. Why is that? Because we have an enemy. Hey, by the way, I want to assure you that when we come to Christ, it's the right thing to do because we're brought in proper relationship with God. The outcome of that is the fact that we're going to have, well, eternal life starts right then, but we're going to enter into that someday. But what we don't many times stop and think about, many times what is not preached about, is the battle just begins. And you say, what do you mean that the battle just begins? Did I not have a battle in my life dealing with my lost condition, whatever? True, that happens. But once we become a child of God, oh, did you know? There's a target on your back. Once we become a child of God, there's a target on us. And what I mean by that is simply this, that we have an enemy. An enemy that is persistent, an enemy that never gives up. And as we've shared before, in our lives, we have three things that we constantly battle with. We battle with the flesh. Whoops. That was not my heart pacer, okay? We battle with the flesh. Oh, my goodness. You know, we come into church all nice and dressed. We even smell good. But you know, if there was a selfie taken of us, or of ourselves, and we could expose our inner hearts and thoughts for the week, folks, it wouldn't be pleasant. It wouldn't be pleasant. That was a very appropriate, brother, song that you concluded with. Holy. Wow. That's, let's just leave it at that. I'm going to come back to it. The human heart, the flesh. Do you struggle with the flesh? You sure do. I know you do. We struggle with the flesh. Sometimes we can even, you know, struggle with the temptation of being dishonest. This week, I was sitting in a elderly person's home. Really, shoot, not that much older than I. Did I say that? And I said to her, it's a cottage, beautiful. And she's asked us to draw alongside her and help her. And I said to Martha, do you have any idea what your home is worth? And she said, oh, $400,000. I said, Martha, would you be shocked to know that's probably worth double that and more? And her eyes lit right up. What am I getting at? We're driving down the road. And I said to Jan, I said, you know, if I want to be deceptive, if I want to be dishonest, I could have said for Martha, I'll give you $500,000 and let's close the deal today. But no, we don't go that route. No, see, in this world, yes, we have temptations, but Satan not only works with our fleshly desires, but also the world system. Like really the one we're going to talk about today, he is really using both to bombard us and get us distracted from why we're really here. And you know what the main thing is? Okay, come back to God. We have been sanctified. We have been set apart unto the Lord. For what purpose? To seek to live a holy life. And folks, we struggle with that, but that's the only life that we really want. Down deep inside, if we only knew what we really wanted, We don't want what we see in the world today. It's contrast. It's a real contrast. We see the wickedness in the world. We see the hurt in the world. And you know, I don't know about you, but I just find that deploring and depressing when we listen to lies, propaganda. Wow. And it is downright lies. And what about, have you ever gone to your phone, your computer, or someone called to tell you, there's been a couple of charges on your credit card, and they're calling to warn you. Well, what's that? It's a lie. If we only knew how that this world operates on lies to the extent that it does, we'd be bothered. I guess what before we move into the subject, I was thinking, here we are. Hey, listen to this one, folks. Our government was overwhelmed that they had a trucker's convoy stuck in front of the parliament buildings and they didn't know how to solve it. No, I'm just... How would you like to be in Ukraine and have 150,000 foot soldiers outside plus all the military hardware? And here I'm thinking, you know, we can't even resolve. And sorry today, folks, sorry, but I have to mention this. Our prime minister hid from the truckers' convoy, but this past week he was out on photo op all over the world, and they're going to impose sanctions. And I thought, you can't even resolve your domestic problems. And what is Canada going to do against a dictator? Now, what I'm saying is this. We have a tyrant. We have a dictator in the form of Satan who is out on a rampage. And even though that he's been cast out of heaven, he's been dethroned. Also, we looked at the fact that he's disarmed. But you know what? He never gives up. And I think once we realize who is behind all of this, many times he's instrumental in the believer's life. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan," does that mean that Peter was a demon-possessed? No. Do you know what he was saying? Peter, you're mimicking Satan. You're saying exactly what Satan would want to say. Oh, then my question is, as God's people, how many times are we mimicking or saying exactly what Satan wants to say? Well, we may not do it deliberately, and I'm not saying it could be anything like the fact that, we're going to denounce God or the faith. But I just want to reassure you today, as we move on here in our lesson, he is working overtime. And one thing I want to share before I move on. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God saved me at a young age. I was telling my grandsons yesterday, one's 11. And I said, you know, it's 11 years of age. That grandpa gave his heart to the Lord. And that's something I've never regretted. But you know, we're so blessed to know Christ and the truth of God's word. And the very fact that, you know, because why? Because you can trust God's word. You can't trust Putin. You can't trust a lot of politicians. Now, if there's politicians here today, no. You know what I'm saying? And what about our dear lawyers? Now, who can we trust in the world today? What about fake news? Well, you go on the internet anymore, and on the computer, I should say, and even when you go to websites to find out information, you have to be awful careful, because who is presenting? Is this fake? Let's go over to Genesis chapter 3. In fact, Let's back up to chapter 2. Now, we know the story, but you know what? I feel many times as believers, we read the Bible and we read the story. So really what we're getting, the facts in a nutshell, condensed, concise. Now, if it was any other way, as John said, the world couldn't contain all the books that are written, even in the life of Christ. So what does God do? By his Spirit, he leads Moses to write. He leaves us with enough information, and when we look at the whole overall story of Scripture, it builds and builds and builds. Now, what do we have here? Well, the Lord God in verse 15 says, took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to work and take care of it. Did you know the Bible starts out with a garden? Revelation concludes with a garden. But oh, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for that in between the two gardens there's a cross, so we can enjoy the latter garden. Now let's move on. And so it goes on to say, to work it and care for it. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? God didn't pick the fruit and give it to Adam. No, God provided a beautiful situation, a sinless situation, and Adam still had to work and acquire his own food. And he says, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, what's going to happen? You're going to die. You're going to die in two ways. You're going to die physically, but first of all, you're going to die spiritually. You're going to be cut off from God. Secondly, you're going to die physically. And then someone pointed out, I was doing some reading here not long ago, and refers to three deaths. Three deaths. Think about that. Spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. What does that mean? That person is forever and ever banned from the presence of God. See, in our spiritual death, as we know, means that we're out of fellowship with God. That can be changed. But when it comes to eternal death, folks, that is not, you cannot change it. That is permanent. Pretty serious stuff, isn't it? So, he said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, it doesn't seem that God gave a lot of instructions. Because he was talking to a man. My wife has started, repeat after me, please. I don't always get those instructions. No, it's not intentional. I know I'm in church and that's what I'm supposed to say. No. It's not intentional, it's just that our minds are working overtime all the time. But God didn't give a lot of instruction. He kept it simple. Hey, man, you don't. Isn't it like raising kids? Our commands to them or our suggestion to them might be, hey, just don't touch it. But as we know, what happened? As we come over to chapter 3, and in the latter part of chapter 2, we have God making the woman. Now, here's something very interesting. The first institution that God created was what? It was marriage. Folks, what has Satan been out to destroy through the ages more than marriages? See, God made male and female, we well know. And the woman was the counterpart, the other half of man. And she's going to be a helpmate to him. And they were to live as one. Okay. Then as we come on down into, or come to chapter, let's go to the end of verse 25. I want to read that in chapter 2. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt not ashamed. There was no guilt. Okay? There was no guilt. Now we find, and why I read in Revelation chapter 12, it says the serpent. What does John writing in the book of Revelation say? The old serpent. And who is that? None other than Satan himself. Now, he comes as a serpent. Did not, remember Balaam's donkey? Did he talk? Apparently he did. Okay. So really, to speak through the serpent wasn't really a big deal. But yes, it was a big deal in what he said. And I just want to, in our time, there's lots we can deal with here, but we'll move on next week. But he said, notice what it says here. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat any tree in the garden? Oh, my goodness. Folks, Satan has not changed. He's not changed. Questioning God's word. What does Satan do more than make people question God? See, Satan, he hates God. He's out, and his whole ambition is to fight against God and bring as many cohorts or people to follow him. Now, people in this world only, and even Christians, realize that, you know what, the real battle is the battle with the enemy. And who do we want to listen to? And you say, how can I? You know a verse in the Bible that is so powerful, that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of whom? Christ. Wow. We're to bring every thought. Does your mind sometimes take you into that area of doubt? And God's word? Well, let me assure you, that is not wrong to question. It is wrong to dwell upon it. Because then we eventually, someone said backsliding is a choice. Now isn't that, I just read that this week, and I thought, you know, that's a good way of putting it. People choose to do other than what God has commanded them to do. They're going to live life their own way. Wow. That's a choice. We have a choice to come to Christ. We have a choice to love our partner. Love is a choice. Wow. I think I'm going to choose for me and my house. We're going to choose the Lord. Yeah, we ought not to entertain those things. What about in God's? If God says it, wow. When it comes back to the word, folks, like the old preacher says, I believe it from lid to lid. I believe it from generations to revolutions. See, either God is true, and I believe everything that God says is truth. Well, what does Jesus say? He says, what about truth? Ye shall what? Know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Why are so many people in bondage today? Oh, because they fail to live in appreciation of the fact that this book is what? True. God is true. God speaks truth. Oh, I just love it. Like I think of it even in our own marriage. And I won't embarrass you this time, dear. You know what? I trust my wife 100%. And when my wife tells me something, I know it's not distorted or tainted in any way. Now, maybe I don't like it, But nonetheless, she tells the truth. And you know, with our relationship, I share this in our relationship, is that, you know, I trust my wife so much, I have absolutely no idea. I absolutely have no idea what money I have in the bank. Maybe some months ago, I may have said, dear, I trust her, so when she brings out, she's quite the accountant, though, and she thinks my spending is higher. No. But all I'm saying, folks, is it ever wonderful? When I go home, I just hand it to my wife, I have absolutely no concerns because I trust my wife 100%. Oh, if we trust another human being, and I know there's people in this church here today, praise God, are the same way. Your word is good. You can be trusted. And you know what? This lady, no, just so you know, what God's done in our lives and done on my wife's side, we just praise him. This lady working with, that's got the house for sale, she's got money, she wants Jan to be as a co-signer to her checks. Do you know why she does that? Because of trust. Now, my goodness, there's no way in this world do I ever want to destroy trust, because it's a wonderful thing. But I do want to say this. There's one in heaven. We can trust, I believe, 100%, 200%. We can trust his word. You know what? If we rest on his word, we live according to his word, do you know what's going to happen? We'll never go wrong. Oh, I'm not saying you're going to be rich. No. You're going to live the life that God wants you to live. And God will use you and bless you. And I'm glad the Spirit of God opened my blinded eyes that I and showed me that I needed to trust or choose Christ. Let us conclude in a word of prayer. There isn't going to be a song. I'm going to invite Brother up and Marty, and he's going to take over. And we want to just conclude and pray for the meeting coming. And we'll continue from here next week. Lord, thank you for your presence here today, because you've promised to be in our midst. Thank you for your word. Oh, we think it's almost said that, you know, the very fact that your words were pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Lord, in this world of so much propaganda, Lord, so much false news, it's wonderful to rest in your presence with truth in our hand. Your very word. Father, I thank you for this ministry here at Grace. And I thank you for each one that is pulling together in unity to see this work prosper for you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless in the service ahead, this meeting we're going to have. And Lord, our heart's desire is that everything that is said and done will be to your glory and honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.